Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Whether you're young or old, more and more people are growing their own. And as my guest today can attest, it can be a global business. From Veg Trug, I'll be joined by Paul Owen from my neck of the woods, Colchester. I'll be asking Paul about Veg Trug's raised beds and what crops it can grow. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. Interesting weather. Last weekend, it was what I call Scottish mist. You know, it's hardly appeared to rain, and yet I was dead-head in nasturtiums up at Hyde Hall, and I came home soaked to the skin, although there was very little rain to get into the soil. Following our podcast, there's more worldwide interest in Uncle Tom's Rose Tonic, this time from Massachusetts on the east coast of the States. You know, it's a bit unnerving, realising that we're being listened to round the world. And at the Ball Colgrave Open evening last week in West Adderbury, one of our podcast listeners came up and said how much she preferred the spoken word. And quite honestly, I have some sympathy with that. I think TV came a bit too quick. You know, the spoken word, one-to-one, really does let the imagination run wild. And it's much more relaxing, I think, to listen rather than listen and watch. Incidentally, the flower colour at Ball Colgrave, well, it's exceptional. What more could we ask? It was a charity evening, lovely warm summer evening, masses of colourful flowers and some of them scenting the air. There was a ukulele band playing, Morris dancers, a street organ, some lovely ice creams and hundreds of people enjoying themselves. And if that wasn't enough, they raised £11,842 for the David Colgrave Foundation, which gives bursaries to horticultural students, and the local Catherine House Hospice. That was a great evening. I thoroughly enjoyed it. In the news this week is tomato brown rugosa fruit virus, confirmed for the first time in Britain in glasshouse crops. This disease, its symptoms has a mosaic staining of the leaves, discoloured fruits with yellow spots and deformed tomatoes. It's already quite a problem across Europe. And this, the first time in Britain, means that the crop's been destroyed. Likely sources, apparently, are via seed, propagation material, and contact via tools, hands and clothing. Recent trials indicate that it could also infect peppers. So it's another disease that could come to us across the channel that we need to keep our eyes open for and nip in the bud, so to speak. Because there's been even more oaks destroyed, this time in Solihull, because of the oak processionary moth that we referred to over the last week or two. In Solihull, they had to destroy 5 newly planted semi-mature oaks from Holland and a further 50 in the locality as a precaution. I mean, it's a real worry, this oak processionary moth. I hope they get control of it and keep Britain pretty well clear of this new pest. Better news on downy mildew on Impatiens. I mean, the Busy Lizzie Imara that sold some 6 million last year has proved pretty resistant to that devastating disease, and we saw This week, the introduction of trials of the new Busy Lizzie Beacon, which similarly has resistance. In 2019, they think there'll be 12 million Imara sold, and with the arrival of Beacon, that should more than double next year. And we should soon be back to the £40 million worth of Busy Lizzies planted in gardens. Such a useful plant, grows very well in semi-shade. And if you've got a tall Leyland hedge, that's a real problem trying to get anything growing at the base of it, try putting down one or two really big grow bags, planting these Busy Lizzies in them late May, early June, especially the white one if it's shady, and you'll find that they'll grow very quickly in the grow bag, completely cover the ground, and of course the white is quite a bright, light sort of colour, and even at dusk they shine out below the base of an evergreen hedge of that kind, and the grow bag of course keeps the compost away from the invasive roots on the conifer. The bedding plant people apparently tell us that begonias, petunias, calibrachoa, lobelia and New Guinea hybrids have been filling the gap. So it'll be interesting to see whether they decline a bit as the Busy Lizzie comes back. At the Syngenta trials, there was a new sunflower, Helianthus sunfinity, which will produce scores of flowers. One plant just comes up and just keeps producing flowers up to about a metre high, I would think. And this could produce some competition for Helianthus sunbelievable. That's the plant we've had for several years now that's propagated from cuttings. And that'll produce 1,000 flowers on one plant. So I'm afraid you'll have to remember that there are two kinds of multi-flowering sunflowers now. There's Sunfinity from seed and Sunbelievable rooted from cuttings. On the question and answer front, there have been several inquiries about beetroot blister. I mean, it's a little leaf miner that suddenly can be seen from brown patches on the leaf of beetroot and Swiss chard, that kind of thing. And if you look, it's almost as if the two leaf surfaces have sort of been blown open a bit like a balloon. And if you're very careful, you can tear those open and you'll find a little leaf miner work in a way that causes that blister. You can either nip with your fingers the mite and kill it, or take off the damaged leaves and take them away so that you reduce the population. I was also asked about flattened stems. Somebody had a perennial scabious and the stem looked almost like a twin and the flower at the top was almost like a twin, although still with the central disc. And that's a condition called fasciation. We don't really quite know what causes it. Could well be just damage to the growing tip. And so it will just be that one stem. The chances are everything else that follows will be fine. You see it also on delphiniums and sometimes even on forsythia shrubs.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our guest this week is Paul Owen. I've known the product that he's been involved with for a good many years, called the Veg Trug, but hadn't really thought very much about it, where the idea came from, who uses it and how they use it. And I found it quite a fascinating story. And so we have as our guest Paul Owen, who is the Managing Director. Paul, how are things in Colchester, where I think you're based?
All very good today. Nice, warm, sunny weather.
Yeah. Now, there's quite an interesting story behind Veg Truck. How did you come across the idea in the first instance?
Oh, it started back in 2007. I was an independent sales agent at the time for various other garden companies. And while I was driving around, having my car cleaned in the old sort of petrol stations, I happened to notice that they used to use these 50-gallon juice drums that were on little legs. So instead of, you know, dipping the sponge down into a bucket on the ground, they were doing it much higher up and raised. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this could be a really good concept for, you know, bringing raised bed gardening much further up. Initially, you know, a raised bed was literally just a plank of wood in the ground. So this was the first sort of idea that we had.
Amazing. Just by chance, sitting in a car wash, you just have this brainstorming idea.
That's right. And it happened to be about the sort of same time as, you know, Grow Your Own was just starting to become popular. So we put together some samples. And originally, myself and Joe, Dan and my business partner, we were bringing in chicken houses at the time. And we had a good contact with a supplier. And we asked them to make some samples. And that's really where it started. And then the big launch was obviously at Glee 2009.
Well, can we just describe to listeners exactly what your original Veg Truck and the current main line looks like?
Okay, so it's got like a V-shaped trough that sits on an H-leg frame. And it's 80 centimetres tall, which means it's like the perfect working height. We do two sizes, which is a 1 metre wide and a 1.8 metre wide. Because of the V shape, it allows for greater depth of soil in the middle and for better drainage and aeration through the side slats of the wood. So we have a membrane liner which retains the soil but allows for extra drainage if you do overwater or it gets rained on heavily. But also it allows much more aeration back into the soil, which, as you know, is the best combination for the roots.
Yeah, I mean, there's two messages there. First of all, the raised beds that are just sleepers or a foot or so deep above ground, I mean, they're real backbreakers, aren't they?
They are.
And just lifting that up an extra, what is it, two-thirds of a metre, just makes the thing very comfortable. And you've got the depth. You know, so often with vegetable growing in containers, there's just not enough volume of compost.
Exactly. I mean, each veg truck, you know, will hold anywhere between 4 to 8 50-litre bags of soil.
Now, one thing, sort of looking at it and going through the catalogue after we had a chat last week, is it not possible to have it two tiers? Could you not do one that was shaped up from the ground that cropped underneath this one?
We do a version in a different material called the Poppy Go, which is a two-tier planter system, and it uses a felt liner bag on a metal tubular frame, and that's able to give you that two-tiered level. In the wood versions, we found that a lot of people liked the single level because of it being wheelchair-friendly. So you can stand from either side. So in other words, if you've got it on your patio or balcony and you want to be able to walk around it, it makes it much easier on a single level.
Now, initially, you were working just in the UK, but the company is now international. How did that develop?
That developed probably around about 2012. We were approached by a Japanese company called Takasho, and they were very, very big sort of retailers within their home market. And they had just set up a big production facility in China that was under their control. And they wanted to produce the Veg Truck, and we licensed them in the early stages to sell the product in Asia. And shortly after that, probably about a year of trading, we realized that, you know, they were producing such high quality produce that we said, look, we'd like you to manufacture everything in terms of the Japanese market and for the rest of the world. And we continued down that route for probably another year, to the point where they were, you know, so impressed with what we'd done and the product and the sales that they actually made an offer for the business.
Amazing, that. And they came to you in the first instance.
They did, yes. I was at Glee 1 year. They'd seen the product and just loved it and thought this is perfect for you know, Japanese gardening. They're very, very keen on their gardening. They like good quality products, and they could just see the benefits of raising it off the ground.
Now, we should just explain to our international listeners a bit about Glee. I mean, you're a regular exhibitor there, aren't you?
I have, yes. I was funny enough, talking to someone a little while ago and saying this will be my 26th year at Glee on the Trot. So I've never missed a year in the last 26. But yeah, Glee is a great trade show for us. You know, obviously we see all the UK buyers, but we also see quite a lot of European and international buyers.
You know, when you stop and think about it, just going to a trade show, looking for local sales, and then having somebody from Japan arrive and the whole business expand internationally to the size that you've become, it's a remarkable story.
It is. I remember our first international order, funnily enough, came from the furthest distance. I travelled all the way to Australia, and we picked up our first big order with Bunnings.
Well, that's a company that bought Homebase, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
Amazing. Well, now, you've expanded the range quite a bit. I mean, it's not the simple veg truck in two sizes. You've got one that fits against a wall, and then particularly you do protection over the top, don't you?
That's right, yeah. We didn't want it to just be a raised planter. We wanted to offer the customer, you know, the complete growing solution so that they can, you know, effectively grow all year round. And that meant, you know, putting things like micro mesh covers, which obviously keeps out all of the aphids and the bugs, still allows you to water and better aeration and breathing through the top cover. We have a fleece cover, you know, for the winter time, as well as the existing PE reinforced greenhouse cover, which, you know, forces and brings things on at the beginning of the year.
My son has one of your veg trucks, and it's 8 floors up in Southwark, and of course exposed to some pretty gusty winds on some days, and so the Enviromesh cover would be particularly useful, just to slow down the wind a bit, and also deter damp pigeons, you know, which can be an absolute nightmare. Does it secure well enough to hold against strong wind?
Yes, the frame is a metal tubular construction with plastic end connectors, and that actually screws to the inside of the veg truck. We have these special little U-clips that attach on the inside of the veg truck, and it holds the frame securely to the veg truck. And then the micro mesh cover or the PE cover, they connect to the framework via a Velcro system, and then you've got a double up and over zip that allows you full access to the veg truck as and when you need to.
And do you have one in your own garden?
I have 13 now. I've become an avid gardener, and we grow lots and lots of produce at home. It's also a great way. I've got two young children, and my 3-year-old daughter at the time, she was just loving coming out in the garden with me in the evenings. And she got to the stage where even at, you know, age 4, she could pretty much tell me what we were growing in each of the veg trucks.
And does she have one of her own now?
She has probably two of her own. One is just fully for strawberries, because they love eating strawberries in sort of April and May time.
You can say that again. But you need one of these perpetual strawberries, you know, not just the early summer.
That's right. And in some of the other veg trucks, we've got a mixture of, you know, different later cropping strawberries, but she also likes things like spinach, and her favourite is carrots. She loves growing carrots in the veg truck, and I'd say it's probably one of the best crops for us, because we have it above the carrot fly, So we've never suffered with any carrot fly problems with our carrots. And because of the soil being, you know, so soft and fluffy, we get nice straight carrots.
You know, it prompts me of a story. We did an offer once to grandparents, free packet of carrots to grow carrots in containers with their grandchildren. And in September, at the end of that sort of offer season, a lady wrote to say that her daughter, I think she was about 6 or 7, wouldn't eat any kind of vegetables at all. Their grandparents got the packet of carrots. She sowed and raised some carrots, and they pulled a young one and she ate it raw. And then every evening at tea time wanted to go out and pull another carrot. And the mother wanted to know what else could be grown. So carrots in containers are a really good thing to start people gardening.
They are, as long as, like with my daughter, she had a habit occasionally of thinking that it was ready to eat, pulling them out too soon. In other words, it's very difficult to get them back in and to grow again. So you have to ask them to just wait, you know, the usual sort of 90 to 120 days. But in terms of, you know, the other produce that we grow or we suggest to other consumers is, you know, all the root vegetables are brilliant. We've grown lots and lots of beetroot, spinach, as I said before, you know, leeks, certain times in winter, salad crops, herbs, peppers and chilies. They're all, you know, really good crops to put in a veg truck.
And do you crop it year-round? I mean, you'll be growing some of the leafy salads during the, well, I mean, sowing them in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I suppose, to crop through the winter.
That's right, we do, yes. And also things like garlic. We always put garlic through, so we've got that at the beginning of next year. You know, we've done Brussels sprouts. They were obviously planted ready for Christmas time. But
Did you grow reasonable Brussels sprouts then, a metre above the ground?
They were okay. I wouldn't say they were the most successful crop that we've tried. You know, I've never put things like potatoes or courgettes in a veg truck just because they just take up too much space. Yeah. And I've always been a great one for, you know, growing stuff that you love eating but costs, you know, a fair amount to buy in the supermarkets on a regular basis.
When we met at the Syngenta trials at the Jellets Hill, you were also in conversation with Chris Spanton that I hope to have on next week. Now, what's the cooperation there?
Cooperation with Syngenta and Vegetalis has come about because we've both got the same customer. In other words, we're trying to produce products and produce that will grow in small, compact gardens where people don't have a lot of space, but they want a plant that's going to produce a fair amount of fruit. You know, taste really wholesome, but obviously in a small space. When we found that the Vegetalis range complements really well the VegTrug brand, and also the fact that we are both on a global level. In other words, if we put together a great package for an end consumer, it means that we can roll that out globally because all of those plants are available through all the Syngenta network.
Now, anybody listening interested in VegTrug, how do they find you? Where do we go to get pictures of what we're talking about and a source of supply?
If you go to the website, which is www.vegtrug.com, all of our products are listed on there. And then from that page, you can then go to all of the local stockists in every country. And there's various retailers online as well as in store.
That's simple enough. Paul, it's great to speak to you and great to hear that an entrepreneur from Colchester has you know, made headlines around the world. Thank you for joining us today.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Now, my quote for the day comes from Scott, who says, "You weren't taught, you just grabbed opportunity." I suppose that's the case for many of us. You know, you need to see the opportunity and grab it. And then you have to quickly learn sometimes of how to do whatever you grabbed. What's on? It's the Royal Horticultural Society Hyde Hall Flower Show on the 1st to the 4th of August. If you go to that show, be sure to take the paths right the way up to the model vegetable garden and beyond, because there's four very nice vegetable plots that have been grown by the students there. And of course, beyond that, we have our floral fantasia area. And I hope to call in over the weekend, so might see you there. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.